Merry Christmas to you. I hope that the year is finishing well and that you're all prepared and you're not battling the shops still and all of those kind of things that happens around about this time. I noticed that the kids at the moment who are joining us in the service have been given colouring sheets as they're walking in, and my gorgeous husband said to me this morning, he said, oh, they should give those out to the adults as well. And then he said, oh, not that I would need it today, my love. Absolutely right. So anyway, here we are, and it's Christmas time, so we're going to be talking a bit about Christmas. But don't you love a baptism service? I just love hearing the testimonies. In so many ways, I feel like we've already heard the message today. Because people have stood up and they have shared with us their own story of remembering what God has done in their lives. They've been able to look back at how he intersected with them, how he engaged with them, how he made a difference in their life, and then share that publicly with us through shaking and nerves and all of those things. But isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to remember? And to be able to look back to see who God is, what he has done, how much he has pursued us, chased us, shown his love to us, and wants to be in a relationship with us. And I actually think that the heart of Christmas really should be about us remembering what God has done. Remembering the way that he chose to intersect with the world, the way that he chose to come to humanity and display himself to us. And so we're going to spend some time actually focusing on what it is to remember him at Christmas today, and not through the stories of those that you've already heard, but also actually through the story of Mary. I listened back over the past couple of weeks to a whole lot of messages that I'd done at Christmas time, because obviously this happens every year, right? And I didn't want to go back and repeat something. So I went back and listened, and what I discovered was that every time that I've preached about Christmas, it's been from the book of Matthew. But I had never actually preached a message that had come from the book of Luke. And as I was thinking about that, and I realized, you know, Luke is the only Gentile writer that we know of in the New Testament. And he wasn't one of the disciples that was walking alongside Jesus and hearing all of the stories. He actually had to go and interview people and research and find out what was going on at the time in order to be able to compile the gospel that he wrote, the Gospel of Luke. And so I've decided this morning to do something a little bit different and to read to you a letter from Mary to Luke about her story and share with you that way as we remember how God intersected with humanity. My dearest Luke, Timothy had told me of your desire to write down all the facts regarding Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, my son. I think it's a fantastic idea given how quickly and widely his message is spreading across the empire and how many people are coming to know and follow him. The more his message spreads, the more people will need a reference point to share from. Solid writing of his teachings, his ways, and the events of his life to protect his message from pagan and religious influence. Even here in Ephesus, I meet new people daily who believe and have chosen the hard road of following him, despite the disdain they receive for it. It's not an easy choice for either Jew or Gentile to become known as his follower, but people believe and are being set free. And I am so overjoyed to see it. Those who have found him have come to know that excommunication and unpopularity are a small price to pay for freedom from sin and a deep, profound peace in our souls. Nothing in this life is as fulfilling as knowing him and living for him, and I know you also know this well. Writing down the events of his life will be a big task for you. I'm told you're researching carefully with multiple eyewitnesses to ensure the story you tell is a true account of his life. The Spirit will help you retain only that which he desires to be known and reported for years to come. You can trust him to guide you in this. As for me, I thought it would be helpful if I wrote down the account of his birth for you. Given I am the only human who was at both his birth and his crucifixion, my eyewitness account will be important for you, and I remember it all so clearly. When I was a child, my parents had promised me to Joseph bar Jacob in Nazareth. He was waiting for me to reach the age of maturity before we married. But it was before that time that an angel, Gabriel, brought me the news that I would bear the Son of God. This is what he said to me. Shalom, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Of course, I was frightened and shocked by his appearance and by what he'd said. I was an ordinary young girl living in Nazareth with my parents and sisters. We weren't wealthy. We weren't important. Nazareth was an unknown town with no significance, and I honestly wondered initially whether this message was even meant for me. But he cut through my doubt when he spoke to me by name. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Given that I had not yet reached maturity, I was very concerned by his words. I was a virgin at that time, obviously, and I knew that a pregnancy was therefore impossible. I can't precisely remember my response, but I do remember rather awkwardly raising this impossibility with him. He didn't seem at all fazed by it. He simply replied that the Holy Spirit would cause me to conceive, and that because of this, the child would be the Son of God. As you can imagine, this was all rather a lot to take in. It was like in just a few seconds, a whole lot of consequences raced through my head as I tried to let it sink in. It was all incredibly overwhelming. Every girl I had grown up with had dreams of being the mother of the Messiah, but let's be honest, it had also been 400 years since the Lord had spoken to Israel. We hoped and prayed, but didn't really expect it to be in our lifetime. And now there I was, standing in front of the angelic being who had always been tasked with proclaiming news concerning the Messiah, with my mouth wide open in shock, fear, doubt, and with a million questions on the tip of my tongue. Who would I tell? How should I parent him? Would we be in danger? Would I be able to show my face in public again? Should I send him to the temple at a young age like Hannah sent Samuel? Would Joseph even take me in? Would anyone even believe me? Was this actually happening, or was I just hallucinating? I think the angel sensed my concerns because before I could say anything else, he told me my Aunt Elizabeth was also expecting a miraculous baby, one she'd conceived in her old age. I decided instantly that in order to corroborate Gabriel's message to me, I had to travel straight away to Jerusalem to visit Elizabeth. I knew what I'd been told was true, but at the same time, I was plagued by doubt. I guess that's just how it is when we hear from the Lord. We question our ability to hear, even sometimes our own sanity. I knew that if I could see Elizabeth with my own eyes and get confirmation of her miraculous pregnancy, then somehow I'd be able to manage the fallout from mine. The journey to Jerusalem took 5 days. I remember being so intensely inside my own head. It began to dawn on me what the repercussions would be. What would Joseph do when he found out? What about my parents? How would I protect this pregnancy from the crowd who would inevitably vote to stone me to death for adultery? Each step of the way, I had to remind myself that the Lord is always in control and had ordained this. I simply had to keep moving ahead and entrust my life into his hands. When we arrived at Zechariah and Elizabeth's home, there was much celebration. She was in the 6th month of her pregnancy, and it was clear they had a large network of supporters who were overjoyed for them that they were able to have a child after so many years. I was tentative about seeing them, though. Zechariah was a priest, and they were both very devout. How would they take the news from me? Should I even tell them? As it happens, I didn't need to be concerned. As soon as Elizabeth saw me, she ran to me and threw her arms around me, laughing and crying with joy. It was overwhelming. As she threw her arms around me and hugged me, she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Luke, this was the moment for me when all the doubt and fear left. Elizabeth's pregnancy was my confirmation of the angel's words to me, but her reaction to my pregnancy, well, that's what settled my soul. The Lord was in control, as he always has been and always will be. He would ensure Yeshua was born as prophesied, and we would be protected until he brought salvation to the earth. I remember at that moment feeling such joy and peace like I'd never experienced before, and I just had to burst into a song of praise and to worship the Lord who had chosen me to be part of this. I still sing that song regularly. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Luke, my song praised the Lord for his greatness, but also for his love and mercy. He had chosen ordinary people to use for his extraordinary plan, and I wanted to be a part of it. The song spoke of the Lord's promises to Israel and how he'd never let us down. It remembered what he'd done for us in history and how he was also holding our future in his hands. And this is the thing that stands out for me as I recount all of this for you, Luke. My song was one that remembered. As I remembered all the good things the Lord had done in the past, all the miracles he'd performed, and the amazing things he'd done to set Israel on the right path, those memories are what built my faith for the future. This is why what you're writing is so important. It will help people who follow Yeshua to remember what he did, what he said, and how he lived. And that will build their faith in the midst of any hardship or difficulty they face. You, as you remember Luke, are magnifying the Lord too. Bless you, my brother, Mary. I wonder how it was that Luke actually got the story from Mary and what it sounded like to his ears. What I know in the midst of it is that so often when we think about Mary, we think about this humble girl who has kind of had to step into this chaos of humanity, this chaos in her life that she wasn't expecting. But the reality is that Mary, once she had accepted and said yes to God, and she'd say, "Yes, I will do as you have asked. Let it be as you have asked." This young girl praised God for the opportunity. She sang the song of praise, and it was one that remembered. It was one that allowed her soul to look back at the goodness of God, at the promises of God, what he had done in the past, what he had said he would do, and it actually settled her soul for what she was about to face. And so as I think about us at this time of the year, and I don't know what your world is like and how chaotic your world is at this time, but I know that for a lot of us, what we tend to do at this time of the year is that we're kind of breathing the last gasps as we drag ourselves across the finish line of the year, yeah? You might have a world that is full of lists. I have a world that is full of lists at the moment. And I get to this point of the year, and especially this year, because it's been more chaotic than most toward the end, where I feel like I'm sort of wringing out a rag, trying to get just eke out the last of the energy. And I don't know what this year has looked like for you. I've spoken to a number of people who've said that this year has been tough. that it's been difficult. But what tends to happen is that we find ourselves so often in a place where we get to that place where we're running low on energy, or we've been facing some challenges or difficulties, and what we tend to do is that's all we focus on, is the chaos, the challenge, the difficulty, the lack. And what I love about Mary's story in the Gospel of Luke is that she focuses actually on God. She remembers. She spends some time magnifying him. She spends some time, really, what magnifying means is with a magnifying glass, allowing him to appear bigger in her vision. God doesn't become bigger, but because she focuses on him, he appears bigger to her. She magnifies him. And she looks back at what he has said in the past and how faithful he has been in the past, and it actually starts to inform what she sees about the future in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the unknown. And I think for some of us, that's precisely what we need to do at Christmas time. Allow ourselves time to remember. Even as we hear those testimonies of people standing up and sharing with us their testimony before they get baptized, those people have sat down, they've taken the time to write down their memories of what God has done, who he is, how he intersected in their life. I wonder what that story is like for you. And when was the last time that you allowed yourself just to focus on it, just to remember, just to allow God to be magnified in your vision? Rather than what's happening today, rather than the difficulties that you've faced already. And I think that remembering at this moment and in this time is something that's profound for us, or can be, because it changes our perspective. And remembering changes our perspective on the past. When we look at the past and we see and we realize that there's actually been blessings as well as challenges. I don't know whether you are somebody who can look at a blank page and if there's one spot on it, you only notice the spot. Or maybe you look back at this past year and you can think of all of the difficulties that you've had, but you've forgotten the goodness of God in the midst of that. Even just in the past couple of weeks, Lucas and I have been writing a newsletter, and as we've been doing that, we realized all of the good things that God has been doing this year. We went, oh, wow, I'd forgotten about that. Was that this year? It's been a very long year. Yeah, God has done some amazing things, transformative things in our world, in our life, just over this past year that had kind of been forgotten in the midst of today's chaos. Remembering changes our perspective on the past. But it also changes our perspective on the present. Because today is just one step in a longer journey. And once you have the perspective of what God has done in the past and what life has been like in the past, then all of a sudden today just becomes one step. It's not the be-all and end-all of everything. It's just a drop, actually, in the bucket of eternity. A step in the journey where God is always working and always bringing us along, and always changing and transforming us, and always wanting to intersect in our lives. But remembering also changes our perspective on the future. Because the God who was faithful in the past can be trusted with the future. And that's really what I see the most in Mary's song, is that she is remembering what God did in the past, what he promised in the past, so that she can look to the future and know that he can be trusted with that future. Remembering the goodness of God changes your perspective on life. And so at this Christmas time, and in fact, even right now, what we're going to do is we're going to spend a few moments just allowing ourselves to remember. Allowing ourselves to magnify God, focusing on him, allowing him to remind us about his faithfulness and where he has met us, where he has intersected in our lives before, and then allowing ourselves to say thank you, to approach him with gratitude, and to once again decide to trust him for the future. I don't know if you look ahead over this next year and somehow that builds anxiety in you. Do you know what? The God who was faithful in the past can be trusted with your future. He can be. And so we're going to spend a few moments just in the quiet, I'm going to pray first. And then I would love for you, even as you just sit there in your seat, just to ask him to remind you. And remember the faithfulness. Remember the moments where he's spoken to you. Remember the times where he's met you. Remember the things that he has done in your world that have been a blessing to you. Times when you knew that God was in it. And just to thank him for that. So I'll pray, then we'll spend some time in the quiet just remembering. And then I'm going to finish off by singing Mary's song. And I would love for us not to, you know, it doesn't need to be an item. What it's meant to be is a chance for us just to thank God for who he is and what he's done. So can we do that? How about we bow our heads and close our eyes? And I'll pray and then we'll remember. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you've done. Lord, that you came, you intersected with humanity in such an unexpected way, in such humility. Nobody expected it the way that it happened, but you chose the best way and the right way. You let humanity know that you wanted to reach everyone, not just the powerful, but the weak. Not just the important, but the humble. And you had promised so much and you fulfilled it all. And we're so grateful to you for that. And so, Lord, right now I want to pray that by your Holy Spirit, as we spend a few moments just focusing on you and magnifying you in our mind, Lord, that you would drop memories into our spirit of the times where you were so faithful to us and you blessed us and you transformed us and you met us and you encountered us. So we're listening, Lord, and we want to say thank you to you.